Hello again and welcome back to session three. Today's session is called Raising Your Spirits and the Emotional Ladder. This session is going to be very useful for supporting you through the emotional ups and downs that are part of recovery. But I first wanted to mention where you are with your well-being exercises and delve a little deeper into understanding two of the phases of recovery roadmap. At this stage of the program, you will have been working through the exercises we introduced on session one. So, if you still have some left to do, that's okay. Just work through them gradually, step by step, to build the foundation of your recovery. The last thing we asked you to do was to record your realizations and progress in your well-being journal. How is that going? If you're starting to wonder why we are so keen for you to keep a journal, this session will explain why this is so important and how it affects the speed of your recovery. On session one, we looked at the overview of the six phases of recovery. So today we will look more in depth at phase one, which we call denial phase, and phase two, or crash phase. So you can start to plot your journey so far. Phase 1, denial phase, and the early warning symptoms. When you succumb to an exhaustive condition, it very rarely happens suddenly. It will have been developing over a long period of time. Although sufferers will have missed the early warning signs because phase 1 is the denial phase. This is where the body has been sending messages through headaches, tiredness, digestive upsets, or sleep disturbance. Sufferers will respond by self-medicating and pushing themselves even harder. It is quite understandable that you would try to ignore these annoying symptoms because life is busy and very demanding, and being ill is very inconvenient. Clients on our program often tell us the methods that they use to self-medicate in the early days of their health breakdown, and they include drinking lots of caffeine, glucose tablets, glucose drinks, drinking alcohol to relax and having a bad reaction to it, sleeping tablets, anti-diarrhea medication, antidepressant use, comfort eating, eating sweets or instant carbs to get some energy. Can you relate to any of these? The other one that's very common, believe it or not, is increasing exercise or joining a gym to build stamina, even though the body is screaming out for rest. I did exactly that in my denial phase and suffered such severe muscle pain that it lasted for 17 days and I had to take time off work. When this phase is going on, you will probably be suffering in silence and will often not want to admit to yourself, let alone others, that there is a problem. The fears start to build, that you are losing your edge and that you're getting lazy. Lifestyle currently is often hectic with maybe lots of hard work and shouldering lots of responsibility. We convince ourselves that it will pass. The stress levels will be high and the tasks will start to take longer to do. Sufferers in this phase still force themselves to go out socially even though they long to be in bed. This stage, however, is very easy to identify. The eyes become lackluster and complexion is often very pale. We can spot it a mile off. When you ask after someone's health because they really do not look well, they will brush it off very quickly, behind closed doors. It's very common for those who are high achievers to get through the day by putting on a brave face, then flop into bed very early to be able to cope the next day. This becomes a pattern, where every weekend is spent laying down exhausted, trying to summon up the energy to get through the coming week. Key things will be happening in this downward spiral, one of which is the chicken and egg situation between those essential energy organs, the thyroid and adrenal glands. The causes of this will be unique to the individual. For example, you may have had glandular fever in the past, or taken the pill, or had an operation, or suffered extreme shock. Whatever it is, something has affected the thyroid gland and, as Dr. Pete Field explains, if the thyroid hormone is not being produced as it should be, nothing works properly. things slowly worsen and the adrenals are called upon to further compensate for the stress. Low adrenal reserve is characterized firstly by a poor response to stress of any kind. Patients report that they feel ill when stressed. Illnesses like the flu or a cold have a devastating effect, lasting longer than they should and causing much more severe symptoms than would be expected. For an in-depth and concise explanation of the adrenal and thyroid connection to exhaustive illness, there is a great book for you to read. Your Thyroid and How to Keep It Healthy by Dr. Barry Durrant Peterfield. Another sign of phase one, denial, is when sufferers screen their phone calls and do not tell friends and family that they're feeling terrible. Throat problems are a common signal, and a hoarse voice is often a sign that we are not expressing something and not being truly honest with ourselves. The body is really struggling, but we'll try to cope. This phase will go on until the load becomes too much, and soon you'll reach your own tipping point. And it's then that you enter phase two, crash phase. Your adrenal glands have become depleted through struggling with prolonged stress. And if stimulants are being used to help you cope, this can lead to complete adrenal exhaustion and total health crash. Phase two, crash. The point where the self-medication no longer works. When we reach phase two, crash, your body has reached a really low point. Immunity is impaired and we become susceptible to viruses and infections. Even though there may have been some mini crashes along the way, this is different. This can be so dramatic that it will often be pinpointed as the beginning or cause of someone being ill. So something simple like a flu or virus will be the start of the problem, when in fact, it was simply the straw that broke the camel's back. This is the point when you just can't do it anymore. Your body has had enough and you have no option but to rest. You feel ill all over and can no longer muster the old resource of pushing through. Your anxiety will begin to build because there's a feeling of loss of control. Elements of denial still exist, and it may take a while before you're ready to admit that this is not going to be a quick fix. By this stage, the exhaustion and pain are all-consuming. Symptoms increase, and there is often no respite through sleep. Insomnia can become so intense that it feels as though it's impossible to escape it. Alternatively, you may be sleeping endlessly, only to wake up feeling as though you've run a marathon. If you were to be made aware earlier of the denial phase, then you could see this crash phase as completely understandable. It is crucial at this point that you begin to explore what behaviours preceded this phase. Exploring causes. That is why we look in detail on the programme at Exploring Causes. Session 5, The Problem is Rarely the Problem, and Session 6, What If? And the Power of Questions, will be very helpful for you in that area, as will understanding the role of the endocrine system in Session 9. It's essential to reflect on what has brought your health crashing. It is at this point that there are huge anxieties, worrying about what will happen to your job, your home, your family, your career or your business, your personal reputation, perhaps a university course you're currently undertaking or whatever has been central to your life. A big fear is that something more serious or terminal is wrong and is undiagnosed. When this happened to me, I was absolutely convinced that the virus I had contracted had caused my illness. I took no responsibility for the state my body was in before I crashed. I had always pushed myself through health problems and expected to always be able to do that. I felt that my body had let me down, and like so many other sufferers, I kept striving to get back to normal, which meant doing all the stuff that had caused the problems in the first place. I saw some great practitioners, and not one of them made me face what might have caused me to become so ill. It is vital that an honest assessment is made and explained to a sufferer who is totally in the dark about why they are so ill. This is the time to work on accepting that body and mind need to undergo a healing journey, but that this will not happen overnight. Patience and a positive approach can help you move from this into phase four, the internal search, do what it takes, much more quickly, avoiding the most challenging phase three, external search, defined by the condition. After getting your adrenals and thyroid thoroughly checked out and tested by your GP, it's important to work through those eight elements which identify your specific causes, including all physical stressors, all emotional triggers, all lifestyle factors. And then you can begin prioritizing and addressing them. We take this approach on the Chrysalis Effect Program. Having gone through recovery ourselves, we have much greater insight into the challenges of where you are and what is actually going on physically and emotionally for you. Now, it's time to look at some strategic ways of handling the emotional fallout that is experienced as you work on your recovery. Today, we are working on the emotional health element of your health wheel, and we'll introduce you to the emotional ladder and how it can powerfully raise your spirits as you navigate your recovery. Have you heard the expression low spirits? Someone may have told you about someone seeming like they are in low spirits. This expression isn't used as much as it once was, but it is a great description of how we feel when we withdraw and feel the emotions connected to sadness, loss, and discouragement. It really means that our spirit, the thing that inspires us, is lacking. And we are in a place far away from joy and happiness. To really feel these emotions and process them effectively creates optimum health. The difficulty is, though, that when our spirits are low and we feel depressed, discouraged, and fearful, we can literally set up camp in the middle of those feelings and find it difficult to trudge through them and come out the other side. In their work, Forming a Story, The Health Benefits of Narrative, James Pennebaker and Janelle Siegel, the University of Texas at Austin, USA, discovered that writing about important personal experiences in an emotional way for as little as 15 minutes over the course of 3 days brings about improvement in mental and physical health. Several studies have also found that writing or talking about emotional topics influences immune function in beneficial ways, including T helper cell growth by Pennebaker, Kaikol, Glazer, and Glazer. And an interesting one for us is the positive antibody response to the Epstein-Barr virus, which is a condition almost identical to ME. This was the instruction given to test groups in experiments to see how writing can positively impact health. For the next 4 days, I would like you to write about your very deepest thoughts and feelings, about the most traumatic experience of your entire life. In your writing, I'd like you to really let go and explore your very deepest emotions and thoughts. You might tie your topic into your relationships with others, including parents, lovers, friends or relatives, to your past, to your present or your future, or to who you have been, who you would like to be, or who you are now. You may write about the same general issues or experiences on all days of writing or about different traumas each day. All of your writing will be completely confidential. The results were astounding, and in all cases, health improved dramatically. Elaine's experience. I know this to be entirely true. When my symptoms were at their worst and I was in bed most of the time, I read a book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Julia asks every reader to write their morning pages. Literally a pen to paper exercise, no planning, just write about anything that comes into your head. I didn't realise at the time just how much impact those daily writings would have. Your subconscious is stirred because you're allowing it to be expressed completely uncensored. You will be given permission to write those things that you dare not say to anyone. The things that you know you have squashed deep down inside will emerge, and at some point you will notice that you begin to act on the things that you have allowed to be expressed in your morning pages. Have you ever had a block sink? The water cannot flow and it just becomes stagnant as something that you can't see is blocking the flow. The morning pages are the plunger that unblocks those hidden thoughts and feelings that keep your energy stuck and blocked. Writing daily will energize you. Stirring up your emotions is a key part of your recovery, and we sometimes fear doing that. When I was 24, I had my first baby, a beautiful little boy. I called him Aaron. It should have been the most wonderful experience of my life. Sadly, my baby boy died at just 2 days old, and nothing could have prepared me for the pain of that time. Looking back, I remember how people actively avoided talking to me, how they crossed over the road pretending they hadn't seen me. This is a common response to bereavement. I learned that people are frightened of emotion and they don't want to cause upset. The huge lesson I learned was that as we go through life, we can't avoid these situations that can throw us a massive curveball and send our emotions haywire. As you are acutely aware, having ME is one of those curveballs. The losses you have experienced, such as issues with your job, your social life, your energy, and even your ability to think clearly, means that we grieve. It's a form of bereavement. Bereavement counsellors understand that healing is a process, and to heal, we must move through a scale of emotions. The emotional ladder. So what is the emotional ladder and what does it have to do with recovery? The emotional ladder is the range of emotions that we all experience in our daily lives. You know when you're experiencing positive emotions because you feel good. And we all know how horrible it can feel when we're stuck in feelings and emotions that we would describe as negative. The dramatic impact that ME has on our emotions is due to the uncertainty that those symptoms bring into our life. Frustration, sadness, anger, loss, and disappointment are all emotions we would like to release quickly. And yet the seeming hopelessness of your situation keeps you returning on a loop to the same old feelings that keep you powerless. Have you heard of the work of Esther and Jerry Hicks? They are teachers who have a very specific take on the link between your emotional state and what you attract into your life. A brief explanation of their theory is that everything is basically energy, and in turn, everything that is energy gives off a vibration. We know this to be true, as you can pick up when someone is happy or sad or tense just by walking into a room. We often say you can cut the atmosphere with a knife. How do we know this? The answer is that we have a frequency just like a radio and we pick up this vibration. Would you agree that when we are depressed, we obsess about negative, sad, and helpless thoughts? As we do that, we attract more and more bleak thoughts, and so depression is perpetuated. I remember when all I used to think about was what I was missing out on, the friends I was losing, and how bad I was feeling. It was all I ever thought about and talked about. I had to become aware and to start making changes before I started to feel better. The other end of the spectrum is that when we feel happy and joyful, we attract good experiences into our lives, and this is the law of attraction in action. These two ends of the spectrum and all of the states of attraction in between are what we refer to as the emotional scale. Joy, empowerment, freedom, love, appreciation, passion, enthusiasm, eagerness, happiness, positive expectation, belief, optimism, hopefulness, contentment, boredom, pessimism, frustration, irritation, impatience, overwhelm, disappointment, doubt, worry, blame, discouragement, anger, revenge, hatred, rage, jealousy, insecurity, guilt, unworthiness, fear, grief, depression, despair, powerlessness. So play this out for a moment. What do you attract when you focus on your symptoms? More and more thoughts of illness and pain. How does this make you feel? It feels bad, right? You also know that you feel bad because you want to feel good. But when we moan so much about feeling bad, it's difficult to break out. and therefore we slide further down the scale. Esther and Jerry show us that the reason we want to feel good means we want to experience a contrast emotion. Contrast is the difference between how we want to feel and how we do feel. The right vibes. They go on to explain that we give off different vibration with each emotion. Lower vibrations for depression and sadness are at the bottom of the scale, and higher vibrations are for the happy ones. Then we need to learn how to move ourselves to a higher emotion and therefore a higher vibration. This can't be done overnight. It's a step-by-step process. Using your journal as a guide, you can write how you feel and then keep writing until you start feeling in a better place than the last statement you wrote. In the chrysalis effect, we imagine this as climbing a ladder that gets you to a higher place. When you're higher up, you have a clearer view of things. Climbing the emotional ladder. An example. Start here. I've been in bed all day and I feel like my life has been taken away from me. Why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? I have been sleeping, so maybe I'll be able to get up for a while later or tomorrow. Finish here. I can be okay resting on the sofa or in bed as I'm allowing my body to heal itself while I watch a good film. I'm warm, comfortable, and grateful to have the time to enjoy a good film. I feel like I'm okay lying in bed as I can use the time to laugh at the TV and be okay here right now as my body is healing itself. Can you see how the emotions attached to the thoughts have shifted? They may not have moved from the bottom to the top of the ladder, but they may have moved up a few rungs of the ladder, as each statement sounds and feels better than the one before. This is just an example, and as you practice the process, it will become easier each day. Each day, see where you are on the ladder. It's okay to go up and down if you're aware of where you are and make a conscious effort to create a feeling that is slightly better than the one before. Elaine's experience. What I noticed in my own experience with ME was that I would often feel overwhelmed, and when I lived with that emotion, it led to an increase in my symptoms. I couldn't multitask anymore, and just having the normal day-to-day complexities of life, like shopping for dinner, making an appointment at the dentist, or remembering a friend's birthday, would create more and more feelings of not being able to cope. I remember clearly where my daughter, Kelly, was coming up for her 21st birthday. My symptoms were so bad at the time that I was in bed day after day. I wanted to surprise her, but I didn't have the energy to pick up the phone. It seemed impossible to make any decision to organise a special occasion, and I just kept crying. A friend tried to help, and she kept asking me over and over, "Well, what do you want to do for her? You must have some ideas." This person had not understood that my brain was unable to come up with ideas, as I didn't have the capacity to organise my thoughts. And as I imagined Kelly's disappointment, I felt intensely disappointed for her. The thought emotion loop, or anxiety loop. I was in a loop of worry and anxiety, something we now call the thought emotion loop or anxiety loop. Can you relate to feeling like you have a cycle of worry going around and around in your head? I was convinced that the elements for her birthday wouldn't get done. Even if I did arrange something, I might be too ill to go. I would go over and over the things in my mind that I didn't feel I could do, and my emotions would seesaw from frustration to worthlessness. As I descended this emotional scale, I would get angry that everything was always left to me. Why couldn't someone just sort it out? Then I beat myself up about how I wasn't contributing and how my husband and family weren't getting anything from me. Then the feelings of powerlessness would take over. I would lay there feeling useless and isolated, with a head intent on tormenting me. With thoughts like, I should be stronger than this. It's my fault that we don't have much money for a party because I'm ill. Am I really ill or just being lazy? Everyone thinks I'm putting this whole thing on. The result, of course, was a deep feeling of loss. I would sob the kind of sobs I have only experienced in grief for someone I have lost. Of course, that's what you feel, isn't it? That you have lost you. And when you're that low, it feels as though you can't climb back up again. But I promise you, you can. The outside world didn't have a clue about the pain that those thoughts caused me. People were outside my window doing normal things. I could hear them chatting to neighbours and calling out to children as I lay there silently crying. My body responded by making my muscles ache even more. My head would feel fuzzy and hot. I would feel exhausted and sleep wouldn't come. Once we are aware of this emotional ladder, we can see where we are and how much pain or joy we are experiencing in that moment. Awareness of the impact our dark imaginings have on our body and our emotional state helps us to intercept the downward spiral of suffering. Peter Sinclair says, "Depression loses its power when fresh vision pierces the darkness." This quote can help us see that once we have another approach, we can change our emotions. We need to recognize how external interference affects our emotions and the effect those emotions play in relation to our symptoms. People respond to emotional stress in different ways. Many sufferers notice that if you have a fallout with family a few days later, it can have a really dramatic effect. It literally drains your energy and can cause a relapse. And this can be just as bad as trying to do circuit training when we're in a depleted state that created ME symptoms. We must learn to listen to and understand our bodies to protect ourselves. In session 9, we will cover the physiology of this anxiety loop, the chemical responses and the neurology that drive and perpetuate it. You will understand what happens inside the brain and what you can do to intercept it. Getting support for your emotions to reduce anxiety is a really important step you can take. It's often one of the main reasons your body can't enter a healing state. Unfortunately, this is extremely common, so if you are struggling with this, it's a really horrible symptom that goes with this territory. Good news is you can overcome it. You may need some help with this, and the Chrysalis Effect practitioners work in teams and can either offer therapies themselves to help you balance your emotional responses, or they will know who in their team to refer you to. If you're really struggling with this, please contact us or one of the practitioners to get the support that you need. Kelly's experience. Kelly suffered with chronic fatigue. She explains, "There was a time when I was in a business relationship. I thought this was the right decision. However, there were times when she spoke to me in a way that upset me. She left me feeling like I wasn't good enough to work with her, like I wasn't an equal. I ignored this and continued working with her. Later, we would have meetings at her house and she would have huge rows with her family. It was a horrible situation to be in. She had so many issues, but I just didn't think I could get myself out of the situation, so I carried on with it. I then started getting headaches and feeling tired. Then I got the flu and I felt so ill. And still, I didn't make the decision to leave the partnership. It wasn't until I went away for a week and I started feeling fantastic, so much better when I was away from her, that it gave me the chance to realise that I could do it without her. Once I made that decision and came back, my health picked up and I was back to normal. It was a really good lesson to learn. When I ignore my body, this is what happens. Emotional upsets affect me dramatically and wipe me out, and now I know that, I take myself out of those situations if I can. Kelly's experience really proves how we need to pay more attention to those gut feelings we have and listen to our bodies, instead of ignoring the warning signs that lead to being ill. It also shows that not everything we feel is caused by a purely physical problem. It can be linked to the emotional response, and this is different for everybody. Once you learn how you're affected by this, you will be able to protect yourself. There is an equation for this. E plus R equals O. Emotion plus response equals outcome. This shows us that how we respond to an emotional event will affect the outcome for us. It is unrealistic that you will move from grief and depression to joy in one leap. People do not climb the ladders like that. So here are the steps you can take to support yourself. Be aware of where you are. Say, okay, I know I am here at the moment. It's okay, I will process this and be glad when I notice I have taken a step up the ladder. You might look at this scale and think, well, jealousy or anger aren't very nice emotions, so why do I want to experience them? However, they are more powerful than grief and depression, and they will give you the drive to take some sort of action, even if it is just to tell someone you're angry or just throw something. It's a first step. There are things that you can do to move up the ladder. The exercises this week will enable you to do just that. As you practice this, you will begin to feel more in control of your emotions, which directly influence your thoughts. You will attract less and less thoughts that worsen your symptoms. You are gaining control of getting your life back on track. Top tips for your body. Foot massage or reflexology treatment does wonders for accelerating shifts in our moods. Ask spouses, supporters, or a friend to rub some lovely oil into your feet. Lavender or chamomile are great to help sleep problems. Top tips for quieting your mind. Do you get a brain ache when you do too much reading, worrying, or talking? Resting means resting your brain. Top tip one, turn off the TV and sit in silence. Top tip two, put your tongue to the top of your mouth and press it behind your teeth. Top tip three, close your eyes and say in your head, relax, 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 or a word that works for you. It's a great exercise to silence the internal chatterbox that torments you and helps to rest your brain. Top tip four, access a Chrysalis Effect practitioner to get help with an excessive anxiety loop problem at www.thechrysaliseffect.co.uk. Top tips for your world. One way to change anxiety levels and shift your mood is to involve yourself in something you're interested in. What's going on in your community? Is anyone fundraising or trying to do something really positive? Are there any groups doing stuff you're intrigued by? Make sure this is not about illness. Local newspapers or websites will be a treasure trove of these things that you may be able to help with. Even if it is only sending a note of support and following progress until you feel you can get more involved. Your downloadable exercises this week are the emotional ladder, where are you? Wellbeing exercise four. Closing the gap exercise. Wellbeing exercise five. Morning page daily energizer. Wellbeing exercise six. And bedtime relaxer, wellbeing exercise six. And finally, just time to leave you with an inspirational verse. You have a choice. You can select joy over despair. You can select action over apathy. You can select growth over stagnation. You are not at the mercy of forces greater than yourself. You are indeed the greatest force in your own life and health. Have a great healing week, and I'll be with you on session five.